Previously on Thank the Light.
Fucking Wheel of Not On Time. Jesus fucking Christ. Thank the Light.
So I rewatched Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, and Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
This is not the Fury Road podcast, dude.
No, listen. Just wait. Just hold on.
I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it around. Do you think that the Aes Sedai maybe like...
They couldn't stop Bo Jackson either.
No, they could not. They could, just like Brian Bosworth, couldn't tackle him either.
Yeah, impossible.
Nope. Impossible.
Sighting, Sidar, Stone. 3, 2, 1, go.
If it was like a TV show, she would have individually shoved each one of them into the river.
And then they would have woken up with rainbow paint on their face. God damn it. I need to stop talking to you, man. You're starting to make me get really cynical about the first season.
So that's one of the things, too, that they talk about in the books, Des. So Sidar, which is the women's half, right? Women have to, like, open themselves up to it, and they allow it to, like, come into them. It's like opening, like, you have to, like, relax, and then that's how they accept the power. And then they think of it as, like, moving it as it's, as like water is moving or something like that. They push it, they channel it. They just go with what... They direct it, basically.
So, anal, you gotta just relax. It gets a lot better if you just relax. You can kind of control the flow then. No?
You're not gonna shit your pants.
Jeremy, that was so good. I'm so sorry.
That's Fatty. That's not me.
You know what? That was, he was saying it so good. I couldn't resist the joke because it was just like, yeah.
Listen, we could just talk about it stupidly, or we can make jokes. That's what we do.
I like to make jokes, but it's like, he's like, you got to relax. And it's like what he said, like what you said it perfectly. It's like, if you try, it's almost like the females, when they try to like get too eager or grab it, it's like trying to grab smoke right through your fingers, you know,
that slips away.
But how they're saying they don't ever really say it in the book, because there's no, I don't think they ever go through like a men's, like they have a couple moments in the book where like, you know, Moraine is like, imagine the flower and everything. There's really, like, you'll really ever hear Rand talking about channeling. I don't think you really hear anybody else talking about it sometimes, but it's like, they really talk about like seizing it.
Yes.
Like it's just a raging torrent and you have to fucking bend it to your will. And I always imagine it like a big, like fucking serpent or something. Like you just got to grab it and wrestle it, or it's going to fucking take you down in the water and kill you or something. I don't know. Like it's like
a hot iron bar, and you have to grab it and then move it in the way that you want it to move.
Yeah. And make it do what you want, whatever. Yeah. That's a good, and if you slip at all, it'll just burn you from existence.
Do Sidar and Sidin exist because of the way the masculine and feminine handle it? Or is there legitimately two? Is there actually Sidar and Sidin, or is there just one power and then it depends on how you command it that changes it into the two things?
No.
Two halves of the one power, right, Jeremy?
Yeah. So imagine like a water wheel, right? It's a wheel that's moving. You have the water that
like a
pushes
wheel
it.
Like a wheel of time?
A wheel of time. Okay. Yes.
I get it.
If you will.
It would not have 7 spokes, though. It would definitely not have 7 spokes, because that would make no
6
sense.
6 or 8. I don't care which.
6 or 8.
Just pick one.
Never 7. Makes no sense. So inefficient.
It's just bad mechanics.
So you have the water. You have the water that pushes the wheel. Then you have the water that goes under the wheel, right? That comes back.
Yep.
So it's the same water. It's just moving in two different directions. And then the men have the water that pushes the wheel. The women have the water that is directed back from the wheel, if that makes sense.
That was beautiful, Jeremy.
Thank you.
That's very good.
I wrote that all myself. Robert Jordan had absolutely nothing to do with it. And
I would have turned that into something terrible and tawdry if I had to try to explain it. So
Robert Jordan doesn't talk about that at all. And I just made it up myself. So thank you.
So men are penetrative and women allow things in.
Men penetrate this stuff with their nasty wieners. Back to the first or second episode.
That's why the red Aja are right. Cut them off.
Chop it off. Well, I mean, I think it's important to note, too, that Sidene is like that even without the taint.
Yes.
It's kind of it's a raging torrent of like just power. But then it also has this kind of like shitty aftertaste. It's like Miller Lite.
Oh, my gosh.
What are you drinking, Jeremy?
I do not endorse that. It's a Thai beer. My son. So my kids, you know, my kids are quarter Filipino, but they are in their brains. They are 100% Asian.
Oh, really?
So we have.
Speaking of your wife tainted them.
Yes, totally tainted them. Totally tainted them. So my kids love going to, there's a super big Asian market in Stockton. And so now they've been making road trips up there. And so they buy food. And my son's like, hey, I bought you some beer. And I was like, okay, why? He goes, I needed it to keep the groceries cool when we went out to lunch. Because
that's awesome.
We had like perishable items. So he buys me like a six pack of beer and puts it on top of the perishable items to keep them cold.
That's beautiful.
That's hilarious.
He's a smart man.
Last thing I had to say about that one, back to stuff, is I hope they do kind of one of these for sighting and like the Black Tower and like just mail channeling.
Do you say Black Tower?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Black Tower's coming.
Oh, God. Did I just let a cat out of the bag? Can you guess what the Black Tower is?
Yeah, well, I should have known it because I said, is there like...
Let's hear it for the boys.
Exactly. Well, and when I said, is there, you know, when we figured out the God, the Devil, and the Dark One and the Light One, like I should have figured it out then that there's a tower for the dudes to hang out too.
Yeah, there's a male and a female side.
Do they have female warders?
We're not going to say.
Anything can happen, bro.
Yeah.
Maybe a Grom is a warder. I don't know.
Oh,
that'd be pretty cool, actually.
That would be kind of cool.
They would be cool if they did. I hope they do some origins because once they start to introduce like talents with a capital T, it would be really cool. Like, you know, for traveling and like for balefire and compulsion, just all that shit. Because I think it will help people, you know, it can save some screen time on, you know, fucking explaining kind of the minutiae of the world, and they can really just get to the shit and be like, well, then they could be like, holy crap, what was that? Let's look it in the x-ray, you know, and check out the behind the scenes or whatever.
Yeah, maybe there's some fill in between season one and season two of like what's going on too, because they're coming out before season two.
Right. And okay, even as a person who likes the show or a person who doesn't, Matt, if you saw someone like explain balefire or traveling, you'd be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like what's going down now? Like it's kind of like, yeah, that's what's supposed to happen because we know it's supposed to happen. People who don't know, they're like, what? There's dragons?
And that's what'll happen too. Yeah. The first time we see balefire, it's just going to be like, wait, what?
I hope it's fucking awesome.
I hope it is too.
It won't be the first time. It won't be awesome. It'll because they're going to give you that like, wait, what?
What just happened? Yeah.
Did I just see what I think I saw?
It'll be pretty awesome, but they'll cut away from it kind of quickly just to keep us kind of like when I just thinking of like when Rand busted down the door and we're just like, how the fuck did he do that? And then later on we see. So I think we're good with Sidar Sidene. Stone. Why did they even put stone in the title there? Because I get it that stones are important.
I don't know.
But they didn't touch on it at all, right?
No, not really. Jeremy, I have no clue.
No idea.
Because I assume they're talking about like traveling stones, right? Or the...
Nope.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean...
You guys are terrible liars.
Yeah, I really don't know.
We're the worst.
No, I'm serious. I don't know, man. I really don't. That doesn't ring any kind of bells with me.
Okay, cool.
Stone of Tear, maybe. That's it. But I don't know why it would be in that.
We are going to move on to the Wheel of Time Season 1 : Origin Stories. The White Tower. 3, 2, 1, go.
They met under common cause to protect the world from further devastation. While male Aes Sedai continued their descent into madness and destruction, the island of Tarvalon was chosen, and the White Tower was born.
Still love that I mispronounced Tarvalon for fucking 30 years.
Thoughts, Dez?
Yeah, hit me with all of it.
That one was kind of just a clarifier in that, well, I'm just going to kind of spew here for a minute. I wish they would have shown the oath arches or whatever you call them.
Like the testing arches, like you talk
about?
Like the, yeah. Okay. Have you gotten to that part in The Great Hunt yet?
It's taken me a fucking month to get through that chapter because...
It's just crazy. It's like hard to follow.
Yeah. And if you miss one sentence, you're like,
whose are you on? Nynaeve's is first, right? Is that who's you're on? Okay. Egwene's is much more heart wrenching, but yeah.
Yeah. And I know it matters so much. Like, so I'm just like, so every time I kind of space out and then I come to, I'm like, fucking rewind it, fucking rewind. And finally I was just like, I'm not listening to this until I have time to actually focus on it. And that finally happened today. And I think I got through it.
I will say this, and Jeremy, I mean, like, tell me what you think. I would say that Nynaeve's is, you can just kind of sit back and enjoy hers a little bit more because some of her stuff has kind of already come to fruition. She has the stuff about Lan, and, you know, you kind of are
seeing
them.
None of it's come to fruit. Like,
she's already faced Aghanor, and he's already dead. And so she's running from him in the maze.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of like, you know, like, okay, like he's already dead. So you're
but
like,
the,
okay,
two
like,
rivers, probably, the two rivers, the two rivers thing, like.
Yeah, that's like a big nightmare. Yeah, that one's pretty fucking heart wrenching. But Egwene's is worse, man. We listen to only one of hers and where Brand's like, fucking kill me, you know, just kill me. You know, like it's not as, Egwene's is more foreshadowing. In Nynaeve's, you can just kind of just enjoy it for the horrific event that it is.
Okay.
Like as far as like good writing and just like being. Just be immersed in that part, and like you don't have to dissect that one as much, I think.
Well, I definitely just wanted to pay attention to it. Like,
yeah, just enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
Egwene's has so much hidden meaning and like projection towards the rest of the story and like where her story goes. Like Nynaeve's kind of does, but it's like scratching the surface, in my opinion.
So I didn't realize I thought the Red Ajahs were just kind of mad at the world. I didn't realize they were actually to stop the male channelers. That's their main purpose. I thought they were just ornery. So
no,
that makes me like them a little bit more. I mean, they're definitely a little bullheaded about it, you know, especially since, well, that's the other thing too. Like, that's right. Cause I forget, technically, I'm sure some of them know, but I forget that no other Ajahs know that the Dragon Reborn has been reborn.
Yes.
Technically, not even like that many sisters. Like, I think probably Black Aja knows, and Moraine, and Suan, and the Suan. God, why do I do that? She's not from North Carolina.
Swan.
They know, and then Guitar Amoroso, who had the foretelling, but she dropped dead directly after the foretelling, so she's gone. So they're basically the two that know, besides like Varen, who's kind of.
She figures it
she's
out.
She's just kind of sussed it out. So
yeah.
Maybe you got to figure there's a few others that maybe have figured it out, but haven't figured out who it is.
And in the books, Varen and Alana travel together. So Alana kind of probably, she knows too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. In like the first two or three books, I think she figures it out. But so the reason you think the Red Aja is like all bad is in the first six books, seven books, eight books. I don't even know. Every Red Aja that you meet is bad. They're all bad.
They're fucking assholes. Totally. They suck.
Later in the books, he kind of fixes that where like, oh no, there's some Red Aja that are actually decent people. But
actually, one of the Red Ajas at the end is like fucking real cool.
Yeah, exactly.
She just hates dark friends like real bad.
And they have a job, right? Their job is to like stop the men who are channeling and then cut them off. They have a job that's actually, you know, is good.
It just became corrupted over time.
And you can't, but you just can't do it to this one guy.
Yeah.
Exactly. This one guy.
Yeah, just the one.
You do it to this guy.
So why wouldn't they want them to know? Because everyone knows eventually the dragon will be reborn. So why wouldn't they want to tell the Red Aja?
Because there's been so many false dragons, right?
Oh,
so they're
right.
Like, well, how do we know this is the guy? It could be.
Yeah, well, and kind of what Des brought up in the beginning is that you kind of feel like the Dark One and the dragon, it's like, who was actually the bad guy?
Right.
You know? And so I think that they're, you know, the Red's kind of like mission statement has got twisted over time for a lot of them, I think. And for someone like Leandrin, I think she's someone who has been dark forever, chose the Red Aja on purpose because she's searching for the she's not searching for the man who can channel. She's searching for any man who can channel. And eventually she'll get to the man that she's looking for that'll channel, hopefully, in her lifetime. And that's then, you know, then they'll catch up and channel him before he even gets a chance to fucking really come into his power.
I think there's a lot of Red Aja and maybe Green Aja that are the dark friends, because the green is the battle Aja too. So, and then the Red Aja is the ones that are looking for people who to, you know, men who channel and then dealing with them. So they're always looking for the Dragon Reborn.
Always out there looking for a fight.
Yep. Always looking for a fight.
I feel like the whites would kind of have a good propensity to be dark friends too with the logic. They'd be like, well, logic says it's all going to end someday in a pile of nothingness.
That's true.
So might as well take the bad side.
Yeah. Because they're the pursuers of, you know, truth and reasoning, you know, higher reasoning. So
is there always a Watcher of the Seal?
That is just a title for the Amaryllis seat.
Oh.
She's the Watcher of the Seals.
Okay.
So what originally was supposed to be is she watched over all seven seals on the Dark One's prison. But what has happened is, over 3,000 years, they've been scattered. Not a lot of people know that, right? So she's supposed to be the Watcher of the Seals.
Yeah, it's not like they're kept in some dungeon together or something.
I forget, they're all a little bit different, right?
Your boy's got one, actually, Des.
No, they're all the same.
But that huge one on the floor of, well, in the book,
that's the TV
see, yeah,
show.
Yeah, see, TV show, bro. It's like, I don't know how they're going to reconcile that one.
Who do you sound like right now?
Shut up. I'm you. And I hate it.
So what are the seals in the books? Are they just all little? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because Doman has one.
Yeah, Bale Doman. As I said, your boy's got one.
That's right.
We will never call him Bale anymore. It's just your boy.
Your boy.
Your boy, Bale.
Your boy, Bale. God, I want it to get cold so I can wear my fucking hoodie.
No, me too. I mean, no, I don't want it to get cold, but it's I'll have plenty of cold time to wear it. Fuck you guys in California. I thought it was really cool how they did that. You know, you get to see the yellows, you know, the like kind of the tapestries. Because I think it's cool because that's one of the things that fucking when Robert Jordan gets a long-winded, he starts describing the tapestries, depicting the hunting scenes and the crowning of Bonwyn as Amaryllis in the last Red Moon seat, blah, 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 vomit words. So I thought that was pretty cool because it's a tapestry of like you get to kind of just roll through it. And they all look, the anime on this is just pretty wicked looking too.
It's very well done. Very well done. And I don't say that about any of these shows.
Serious question. If you're not.
Des, you can't see this, folks, but Desmond just lit me off.
We just got, I don't know who it was directed at, but we got a bird. I think it was directed at you, Jeremy.
I'm pretty sure it was me.
I was going to ask the question, but he left. I was like, if you don't know what Aja you want, is there a sorting hat?
Oh.
wrong magic show? Okay.
I was hoping for Blue Aja. I got Gryffindor?
Black Aja? What the shit? You guys totally fucked me. They kind of pass over it really quick, but how it, a lot of people, it takes a long time. What the fuck are you wearing, Captain Dan?
Why is it backwards?
Fucking.
He doesn't have his headphones on.
Where's your legs, Lieutenant Dan?
It's my sorting hat. See, I have magic. I don't have to have my headphones on to hear you fuckers.
You can. I was just like, man, how's he figuring out what we're saying? He's not wearing his headphones.
I gotta mute the microphone so I don't get feedback, and then I crank up the speakers, and then I go pee. I got ears everywhere.
I'm always listening.
Yeah, this one was really cool. This one, I'm really glad we're watching the origins before season two.
Me too.
Because this would have, because I don't think these were out before season one. Did they come out like after season one or?
No.
At the concurrent.
Yeah,
they came out concurrent with the shows.
Either way, I should have been watching them as they came out. It would have just kind of relieved a little anxiety of just like, what? Well, no, I think we've done it right. I think our show has probably been better with me not having a fucking clue.
It's kind of fun.
But this one was a really nice, just like, oh, okay, yeah, this is all starting to make sense. So the White Tower, so they, because I, especially after you mentioned the Black Tower, I kind of assumed that they were like these forever places that have been there for 5,000 years. But the fact that they built the White Tower recently, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, 2,500 years ago, probably.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of interesting to me. So I'm really curious to find out where the Black Tower is now.
It's newer.
You'll see, yeah.
It's newer.
It's newer.
Oh, much, much newer.
Much newer. And they build it really quickly.
It's got that new Sidene smell.
Mm. Smells like taint.
Smells like madness, and I love it.
Smells like taint.
So jokes aside, hubris, heretics, witches, white cloaks, usually it takes years to become an accepted, much less an Aes Sedai. Our Wonder Girls do it really fast. Keep that in mind.
Oh, yes. Yes. Perfect. We are going to finish.
God, thank God.
An Oak Ear's longing.
Yeah, this fucking episode's been as long as an Oak Ear's shit.
We're going to do this, and I'm just going to warn you guys. We'll talk for a little bit. I'm going to close this up fast at some point, so just be prepared.
And we're done. Bye-bye, you fuckers.
The Wheel of Time, Season 1, : Origin Stories, An Ogier's Longing.
Why do you keep saying : Origin Story?
Because there's a colon in there.
Oh.
Is that a semicolon? The Wheel of Time, Season 1, : Origin Stories, An Ogier's Longing.
I don't know. I just thought it was something I didn't understand.
Why is there a butthole? I'm on Desmond's Wheel of Time. Have you looked deep in the wheel?
Just get closer. Look closer. You'll see it. You'll see it. You can smell it.
3, 2, 1. Blast on.
It is indeed the very rare and unusual Ogier who will decide to leave their steading homes.
So they lost the steading in the breaking. And the steading is a specific place, or is the steading where the heart is?
No, it's like national park status for Ogier.
Does the steading respond to the Ogier, or is the steading just the coolest forest ever and that's where they long to live?
So the steading is a place where people who can channel can't feel the true source, but it's basically like it doesn't exist. As soon as you go in there, you can't feel it anymore. But also people who don't channel, they also feel like refreshed and like it makes them feel like, you know, just rested. That's kind of like a good place to rest. But for the Ogier, they didn't realize this until after the breaking that they need to live there. They need to be there all the time.
Oh.
Not all the time. They can leave for a short amount of time, but they eventually have to go back.
Do we know how long the longing takes to kind of...
So Loial starts to get it. Remember, he starts to get the longing. He needs to go back and towards the end. And it's been what? It's probably been like, what, 3 years at that time? 2-3 years since he's left?
Yeah, 2.5 years, probably 3 years, yeah. He's been gone for a while already when he meets up with Ran. So that's probably been 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, probably max.
Yeah, 5 years at the max. And so what happens is during the breaking, you know, the land is shifting, it's moving around, and then the steadings are actually doing the same thing, right? They're getting displaced, they're getting moved. Some are, you know, probably going underwater.
Yeah, it like moved out from underneath basically because the world changed so much, right? That's the way I always took it.
Exactly.
It's like we're here, but now the steading's in, you know, fucking Atlanta and they have to go find it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So is Loial. So is he special that he can stay away longer than most Ogiers, or is it like 5 years a pretty average?
I think it's like a force of will type of thing is what I always thought. Yeah. It's like if you're doing something that year is important and you believe in and you're with people that you love, you could last a little longer, you know?
Okay.
Or, you know, if you're popping in at a setting to kind of be refreshed, you can, you know, that's why I always took it. It's like if all you do is think about home, like a lot of the stonemasons, they go to work on Karhin or Tar-Valon or these cities for long periods of time. They end up planting groves because they miss the steading so much because they want to go back. So some of them never want to leave. And I think it's probably, I'd say probably a shorter time for them if you're all they're doing is missing.
Do those groves refresh them the same way?
No.
I think some of them did, didn't they? Like, not...
It's not the same.
Not the same, but it's not
it
the
can,
same.
It can hold it off, like, a little bit
it
longer.
It comforts them, yeah. It doesn't kind of put it away. It keeps it at bay.
But you also have to remember, too, that Ogier live a long time. Like, maybe, like, 200, 250 years, something like that. So, you know, 2 to 5 years for them is not a very long time.
Yeah, I forget that.
Here's my theory about the Ogier and the setting. So they talk about the tree brother, Somesta, the green man, and he's attached to the eye of the world kind of in the same way. Like wherever he is, the eye of the world is. So I feel like he's strong enough to bring his steading with him wherever he goes. You know, like similar, not the same, but I feel like maybe it's kind of the same kind of like bond to the land. It's like, you know, they have to be there because that's where their spot is. And that's where they can tree sing the best. And that's where, you know what I mean? It's not fleshed out. It's just, you know, just throwing it out there.
Got it.
Do Ogiers know the song that the Tinkers long for?
I feel like they might and not know it. Or maybe it's not even the same song. I think they know some of those songs. Maybe they don't know the song. I don't know.
But they can tame the land with their voice.
Well, I don't know. What do you think, Jeremy?
I was just trying to say, I think the song is the song that they that I'm thinking of is the Aiel song, right? That the Aiel would sing with,
like, the dirge or whatever,
with the Nim, right?
Right, to make the fields grow.
They never really find it by the end of the books, do they?
Yeah, they do.
The Tuathon?
I don't think so.
They
Well, no, but you say
No, dude, remember Rand starts fucking singing.
Yeah.
And fucking at the end and all the shit starts growing around him.
But you know what's going to happen in the show?
What's that?
What?
Matt's going to sing.
No.
Yes, he is.
Maybe.
Yes, he is. Because Matt's the first.
How do you know?
Because Matt's the first person that sings in the show. When they're.
It's true.
When they're on their little horseback ride, he's the one that breaks up the monotony.
And that's a fucking good song, too.
The last three books are the ones that I've read the least. So anything that happens
in those.
You got to
read them again. I think you'll.
I'm getting to it. I'm going to get to them, but. I just, you know.
Have you really? You've only read those three one time?
No, I read, I've read 13 and 14 twice. It was 12 and 13 twice, and then 14 I read once. I only read it one time, I think.
Wow.
Dude, just go back and read 14 before you even get to the rest of the shit, dude. It's so good.
Where are you? Are you still on book one?
I'm almost done with it. Yeah. I'll probably have it finished by tomorrow.
I got to keep plowing because I got to get through two before season two starts. And I'd like to not have it hanging over my head when we're doing our rewatch.
So last night, as I'm talking to my wife, my amazing wife, and I'm boring her to tears, I told her the story that I told you guys about when she had bought me the hardbound hard copy book.
Yes.
And so she's like, I don't even remember that. So we start looking on Amazon. She found hard copies of the first three books and bought them for me last night as we were sitting there talking. So I'm going to have hard copies of the first three books. And now I'll have a complete set of hard copies. And it's the hard copies that have the original.
Oh, cool.
The original artwork, not the.
Were they expensive or?
No, you know, you can buy them used off of Amazon for like, I think like the cheapest one was like $12 and the other ones were like $15. So you can buy them brand new for $25.
Wow.
Yeah. I got rid of a lot of my books when we were moving and just that those were the only ones I kept. But
same with me. I got rid of almost every single book. There was a couple I kept that my mom had bought for me.
That's a lie. I kept some of my Calvin and Hobbes compendiums.
I have some of those too.
Got to keep the important shit. Any last words on Ogiers?
The Ogiers that they showed on this was the origin was so great. I hope that they do some tweaking. Loyal, I.
What's wrong with them?
So in the books, I'm a broken record. I understand. In the books, like I said, he looks more like Ming the Merciless. He's supposed to have very long eyebrows, and they would
like Confucius say. Eyebrows, exactly. Like really like, long, and even like when he starts to, some of the Ogiers grow mustaches, they're very long, like, and Ming the Merciless, fuck, if anyone gets that, oh god,
Is that part of the woke of time where they like, we're not just going to make this dude Japanese?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Because he's mistaken for a Trolloc, you know?
Yeah.
So he needs to look a little bit more, dare I say, orcish or something. But the curly hair ruins it big time. And also, like, let's just say this. Like, eventually you're going to see Loial fight and do some shit. And other Ogier fight and do some shit. And can you
maybe
picture him? I think we may not get it. Because the more I think about it, it's like, that dude's wearing a costume. He's not scary. He, you know, I can't picture him being aggressive ever. And maybe that's the point. And maybe it'll change. Because, you know, at first he doesn't even want to fight. But as soon as the Trollocs come around, he's like, his little ears start twitching and he gets fucking lays waste.
Yeah. And again, he's supposed to be like 9 feet tall. He's supposed to be taller than the Trollocs and bigger and stronger than the Trollocs.
Yeah. They can pick Trollocs up and fucking like tear him in half.
Yeah.
But Trollocs are kind of afraid of Ogier.
And they should be, because they're big. Yeah, they're awesome.
I think it could be more of just like a, like, instead of being super aggressive, just like a sweeping hand motion will just knock 5 Trollocs down. Just
yeah, he just needs a little more, like, he needs more Chewbacca, less Ewok, dude. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
Getting taken down by Peyton Fain was, you're just like, oh, come on. Like, well, you've kind of ruined that part of him then, right? Because he can't be super, like a super stud if he just got taken out by this little guy.
Well, it's the knife, though. I mean, it's not just...
It's a special dagger, bro.
You get a nick with that knife.
We can't even get into the special dagger because he should be... You know what? Just that dagger, he should be blowing up and exploding like a rotted fruit with a paper cut from that thing.
So next time we see him... Next time we see him, he's going to be in the Steading, I bet. Because that's the only way that he can survive that.
You should look like Violet Beauregard.
What?
To turn into Violet Beauregard from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. She turned into
I could picture it, but I couldn't picture out what I was...
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Instead of expanding, he would like shrivel up and die.
So what's with... Is that boat that they make out of that, is that just a toy? Or are they going to sing that into a full-size ship?
It's just a toy.
Are we talking to Willy Wonka still? the boat? Sorry.
The Wonka.
No, the boats are Oompa Loompa size, bro. That's all they're for.
Come with me and you'll see a world full of trees and imagination.
It's a poop-stained mattress.
Thank you for listening.
Because he didn't get another one the next day.
Nice try, Desmond.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank the light, everybody. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parsta Ailman on the Bird app. You can send any questions directly to me via email at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Until next time, don't long for us.
Oh, man, I was going to say something. I completely forgot what I was going to say.
That's my new goal in life now, is just to make sure that I leave Fatty speechless.
And say, I'm sorry, I don't even know why you guys invite me, is what I was going to say.
This is Jess's show. Jess is the one that's like, hey, I want to do this show. Can you help me do it?
No. What happened was he came over to my house and like, we haven't seen each other for 5 years. And I started talking about the show and his eyes rolled back in his head. And he's like, fuck, we'll just do a podcast and I can pretend to listen and maybe we'll make money off of it. I don't know. You're entertaining.
Do you want to know a secret, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Don't tell Justin. But when he first brought it up, I thought it was a time travel show. So that's why I got excited.
I hate you so much. That's even worse than my explanation.
Now this is my life for the next decade.
You're welcome.
Hey, guys, let's try to get Billy Zane. Even if we get Billy Zane in an Origins, that's a win.
Oh, a narrator?
Do you say you want to have Billy Zane in an origin? My mic cut out. My thing. I don't know. What are you doing?
It didn't cut out. You just turned it up because you heard that. You thought you heard that.
What? Billy Zane's doing what?
You just hear what he wants to hear. Billy Zane is an Origins narrator. Hashtag Billy Zane is Origins narrator.
Hey, that'd be fucking dope. I'd take that.
Fuck yeah. That works for me.
I'm a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. And
Yeah, my wife just poked her head out and said, "You're not fat because I keep you from being fat." And bingo, we have a winner.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
A trick is something a whore does for money.
Or candy.
This devolved fast. Come touch me, wiener.